urgent reforms to the global debt infrastructure and Kenya records 1.2 billion cyber threat cases. From over 1,300 cities and 130 countries, we bring you the Good Morning Africa podcast. Good morning, Africa, and welcome aboard your pulse on everything business in Africa. I am Ruth Adong. For more, follow us on Twitter at The K Financial News, and you can find me at Ruth Adong. Michael Utalo, Managing Director of Brawl Uganda, joins us for this episode. He tackles the real estate market in Uganda. Is there an understanding of the market and players, and why is a property index invaluable?
I think what you need to understand about the real estate market in Kampala is it's sort of closed. It's not transparent. You're not operating where you have a property index where people get to know how asset classes are performing. So traditionally, most of the time, investors have invested in either office space, residential, commercial. It's until recent we're seeing interest in things like, you know, student accommodation, healthcare, data centers. And because of the nature of the market and how it's structured, the information is not available. So many times when investors come to us, we're only giving them 3-4 options. Yet ordinarily, you should be looking at everything available and be able to build a business case around that. So for me, where I'm seated, I think the question should be, do the investors know the opportunities available there? What sort of numbers are we looking at in terms of return yields, and how do we unpack those? So for me, this sort of platform starts now to open up the thinking to alternative asset classes within the real estate, so that you're not just doing apartments, you know, office buildings, you know. So we're now starting to understand actually it's a solid business case around the logistics and industrial space, on the back of off-takers who, given the numbers you're looking at, the sort of opportunity is huge. So we now need to start packaging investment-grade opportunities for these investors to look at. I think to understand that, and it's a very good question, to understand how industrial parks have come into play, it's been predominantly the big industries. So they go in there, they get a piece of land, they build what they call custom purpose built for them, own occupation. We've seen very little investment into the bricks and mortars to be rented out to, you know, third parties and things like that. And because of that, the general feeling in the market is that this is for your big industrialists, you know, the manufacturing guys and all that. So there's been little interface with the rental market. So for example, if we walked into Namanve today, you find that maybe 90% of the product there is for own occupation. You see the big companies, the roofings, the whole, they all dig down stuff. Now, we want to change that narrative and tell people, guys, even if you're just a real estate player, you can actually take a piece of this and on the back of an off-taker, and then you can get a sound return. So it's been one of those things where we need to sort of paradigm shift in how people think about this asset class and how to unpack the opportunity, but also the information gap. Not many real estate developers, and I speak to many developers that fully understand the opportunity. So even those who have multiple investments, whether in logistics, when they look at Namanve, it's for their own occupation on build too. There's a sizable sort of mix for the Asian community who have tried to do it in the traditional areas of, like, you know, 7th Street, 8th Street. But now we want to see scale. We want to see where the industrial parks are going. So there's a lot of work we need to do as real estate players to interest the players, but also package the right opportunities, which are sort of de-risked from a market perspective.
And a quick look at the markets. The market segment is powered by the Development Bank of Rwanda. We empower you. Bitcoin crossed the 46,000 mark early on Friday as the CoinDesk 20 index, a measure of the biggest cryptocurrencies, jumped over 2%. The largest crypto buy market cap reached a one-month high as East Asia ushered in the biggest festive of the year, celebrating the start of what's believed to be one of the luckiest periods as per the Chinese zodiac. In Mandarin Chinese, the word for dragon is pronounced similarly to long, boosting memetic value among crypto traders. Bitcoin could rise to as much as $48,000 in the coming days as the asset historically shows gains around the Chinese New Year period. This is according to 10x Research. The asset has added nearly 15% in the past 2 weeks. Data shows easing losses as the anticipated Bitcoin exchange traded funds, ETFs, turned out to be the sell the news event. The rise to the highest level since January 12th came as S&P 500 and NASDAQ 100 indices hit all-time highs on Thursday. Several ETFs have since absorbed more than $1 billion worth of Bitcoin selling pressure in the past few weeks, indicating demand elsewhere. On-chain analysis from CryptoQuant said that the Bitcoin movements out of miner wallets, which signify selling, seemed to slow. Meanwhile, some traders said recent Bitcoin price action stemmed fears of a further sell-off, citing strength in weekly movements. And a quick trip around Africa. The UN Trade and Development Organ has called for urgent reforms to global debt architecture to avert a widespread debt crisis among developing countries. In a report released this week, United Nations Conference on Trade and Development outlines a set of recommendations to realign the global debt architecture with developing countries' needs. The report comes amid concern about soaring external sovereign debt or funds borrowed in foreign currency. According to the report, the external debt increased by 15.7% to $11.4 trillion by the end of 2022. It said the mounting debt levels are further complicated by the diversity of lenders and financial instruments. The rising debt costs are draining vital public resources needed for development. About 3.3 billion people, almost half of humanity, now live in countries that spend more money paying interest on debt than on education or health. UNCTAD is suggesting what is described as a development-centered approach for debt for countries to meet their obligations. The report advocates for a thorough re-evaluation of factors which encompass demographics, public health, global economic shifts, rising interest rates, geopolitical realignments, political instability, as well as the implications of sovereign debt on industrial policies in debtor states. UNCTAD report outlines a comprehensive set of recommendations to recalibrate the global debt architecture in line with developing countries' needs. A key recommendation is to boost concessional loans characterized by low interest rates and longer repayment terms and grants. This could be done by increasing the base capital of multilateral and regional banks to expand their lending capacity. Another way is to raise concessional finance, which involves issuing special drawing rights, a type of international currency the IMF created for member countries to boost their monetary reserves by exchanging them for official currencies as needed. Kenya witnessed increased cyber threats in the 3 month period to December, with more than 1.2 billion cases recorded. This from 123 million threats detected in the previous quarter represents a 943% jump. The latest Communications Authority of Kenya report attributes the increase to enhancement of the country's cyber threat monitoring capabilities and the increased exploitation of system vulnerabilities fueled by the increasing deployment and use of internet devices. Malware, brute force, web application, and mobile application attacks stood at 13.2, 9.7, 0.07, and 0.05 million cases, respectively. In response to the threats, the National Cybersecurity Center issued 8.06 million advisories in the period under review. The report also says that it represents a 44.4% increase compared to 5.6 million that were issued in the previous quarter. Commenting on the figures, Broadcasting and Telecommunications PS Edward Kisiani said advisories were directed to various actors within a critical infrastructure ecosystem, warning them of the impending attacks and guiding them on what remedies they should institute. Key targets include internet service providers, cloud service providers, governments, and the education sector. Thank you for always waking up with us. Good Morning Africa is a product of The K Financial. If you have suggestions or you just want to check out more stories, visit the website. That's thekfinancial.com. And don't forget to subscribe. You can also find us on all social media platforms at The K Financial. And you can find me at With A Dome.